As we mentioned yesterday, Sefer Yehoshua, the first Sefer of Nach, of Nevi'im Uksubim, is a tremendously special Sefer that stands apart in many ways from the rest of the other, let me count, 24 minus 5 minus 6, 18 Sifrei Nach, which are yet to come. As we mentioned, the Gemara Nedarim says, according to Rav Adab Rav Chanina, that even if we had done everything exactly properly, no Chet Ha'egel, and we only got Chamisha Chamshei Torah, we also would have received the Book of Yehoshua itself. The Book of Yehoshua is unique. It records how Eretz Yisrael was divided up among the Shvatim. It records how Klal Yisrael and the Mesorah went on after the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was just this amazing, towering figure in everything that we have in terms of the 613 mitzvos, in terms of the Torah, in terms of taking us, leading us as the physical, temporal leader out of Mitzrayim, and bringing us to the cusp of getting into Eretz Yisrael. But Yehoshua was there with him every step of the way. He was the Talmud Mufak. He was the Oreach. He was the moon reflecting the sun. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us. And Sefer Yehoshua itself is occupied, it seems, with historical ideas, names, dates, geography, boundaries. And sometimes that makes it difficult to see what is so special, what is so important about it. But Chazal give us some insight into why it is so significant. First of all, the structure of Sefer Yehoshua, as we will see as we start to go through it, is identical to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Sefer Yehoshua is divided, Chazal tell us, into five sections resembling the sections of Chumash that we have. The first section are Perakim Aleph through Dalad, the first four chapters, are the narrative of how we enter Eretz Yisrael, which is the beginning of our story in Eretz Yisrael as a nation. Parallel, Chazal tell us, to the book of Bereishis, which shows how the Jewish people themselves first began with the Avos and Imahos. This is also the backdrop for what comes next. The second section is Perek Hay through Perek Yud Beis, which detail the conquest of Eretz Yisrael by Yehoshua and the Jewish people, a recounting of the first Pesach celebrated in Eretz Yisrael. We will see when we get to it that it is unique to even think about. We brought a Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. The next Korban Pesach we brought was 40 years later in Eretz Yisrael. We didn't bring it while we were in the Midbar. We had to be in a set place. We had to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's an Eretz Yisrael Diga Mitzvah, as we are going to see. This is similar to Sefer Shemos, where Nisim, miracles occur, and Paro is conquered through the hand of Hashem. Pesach is a central subject in Sefer Shemos, and putting up the Mishkan, a central Mizbeach and place of worship of Davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that also appears in this section. At Gilgal and in other places in Eretz Yisrael was where our updated version, as it were, of the events of Sefer Shemos are going to take place. The third section, Perek Yud Gimel through Yud Tes, detailed the division of the land among Klal Yisrael. And that can get a little difficult as you start going through borders and boundaries and dry dates and places. But these parallel the sections in the end of Sefer Vayikra and Bahar B'chukosai, which talk about Nachala and the sale of land in walled cities and Yovel and how things return to their original owners. In Eretz Yisrael, people leased land rather than bought it permanently at high prices because by Yovel it's going to go back. In kibbutzim today, actually do the same thing, leasing their land from the Israeli government, which is a kind of interesting parallel. There is a discussion about the division of land between the Shevatim, because since when Yovel came, they always got their original holdings back. As we see in the Torah, they describe this in the end of Parshas Maaseh. But this parallels big parts of Vayikra, this third section. The fourth section, Perek Chaf through Chaf Beis, Echo Sefer Bamidbar, talks about once the land was entirely conquered, Yehoshua helped Klal Yisrael fulfill all the commandments incumbent upon us. The Arei Miklat, the 48 cities where Kohanim and Levim were going to live. The last three Arei Miklat were set aside by Yehoshua in Eretz Yisrael proper. Hebron, Shechem, Kedesh, Naphtali, originally kind of a vertical spine of the country going straight down. Also a reference, as there is in Sefer Bamidbar, to the 2.5 Shvatim who lived on the other side of the Jordan River, who took their land in the Transjordan on the east side. They had to fulfill the conditions Moshe Rabbeinu had set upon them, also in Sefer Bamidbar, to inherit their land after everything else is inherited. And the final section of Sefer Yehoshua, which parallels Sefer Dvarim, are the last two Perakim, Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet, which parallel Moshe's example in Bezos HaBracha, where he gave a last valedictory address, reviewing everything that had happened and warning Klal Yisrael to keep God's mitzvos and to take heed in the future. He also warned them about potential failings, moral failings, political failings before he passes away. And in Sefer Yehoshua, the same exact thing happens. Yehoshua gives us a lot of warnings that unfortunately many of the Jewish people did not heed, which is where we lead after that into Sefer Shoftim and some of the tragedies and some of the high points that come there. So that's one reason it's so unique, is it parallels Torah. A second reason it's unique is that the Jewish people, the generation in Sefer Yehoshua, was one of the highest points in Jewish history, because this was the generation who merited to see the greatest Nisim and come into Eretz Yisrael. Unlike their fathers, their parents, who had come out of Mitzrayim and seen unbelievable Nisim, but were guilty of sins, rebellions, the Chet HaEgel, Korach, all of these things, and were not worthy to come into Eretz Yisrael, this generation was. If you look carefully in Sefer Yehoshua, there's only two Averos that are mentioned. One, a personal sin of one individual named Achan, who took spoils from a city where he was forbidden to do so, as we will see. And the second Chet had to do with the 2.5 Shvat of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Menashe. They built a big mizbeach in their territory, which the rest of Klal Yisrael was worried might represent a civil war or a break from the Mishkan at Gilgal. He foresaw, Yehoshua did, a nation divided by geography and tribal alliances. And yet, the 2.5 Shvatim clarify and insist they were not breaking off from the rest of the people, but rather they were reminding their children and descendants of how important it was to think about the true center of Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Yehoshua had unity, an achdus unprecedented among the Jewish people. The authority of Torah never wavered, unlike, unfortunately, as we will see, subsequent generations in Nach, where the Jewish people waver in their commitment. As long as Yehoshua was alive, Chazal tell us, Moshe was alive. And Yehoshua achieved a kind of success in his leadership and unity that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do. It was only after the passing of Yehoshua that there would be a drop-off, and we will see in Sefer Shoftim, Ish Kol HaYoshar Be'enov. So Sefer Yehoshua is just tremendous. And on a personal note, as somebody who has leaned from it, I can say that no other Sefer in Nach, from what I have had to lean, has such incredible closeness in style to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The use of trup, the cadences of speech, the way the psukim are arranged, seems very reminiscent to me, and not a great rub by any means, but just as a practicing Bal Kore, that some of the other Sfarim don't. And it seems to me, because we know each Navi has his own style, his own unique way that the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are translated through his brain and his mouth, that Yehoshua really does reflect in many ways everything that his Rebbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu, had taught him. If Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shemesh, then Yehoshua was the Areyaf, and we will see that as we go on.